if players enjoy playing on that piece of grass out there and they feel that they can perform at the highest level, and when they do that and they score and they knee slide, for me, it wraps all as one. We've just made a moment.
Tonight, the first whistle blows on the 2026 FIFA Men's World Cup. Around the world, flags are flying, sweepstakes have been drawn, and fans are gathering to watch the game's greatest players battle it out on football's grandest stage. But beneath every pass, tackle, and goal lies something we rarely think about: the pitch itself. That perfect grassy green surface doesn't just host the game, it can shape how it's played. I'm Rosie Holdsworth, ranger at the National Trust. Welcome to Wild Tales and the story of what makes a pitch perfect. Today we're at Wembley Stadium, the home of the England's men's and women's national football teams, to meet Carl Standley, Wembley's head of grounds and surface transitions.
In short terms, my job is to maintain and deliver probably one of the world's most famous and iconic pieces of grass, which is the hallowed turf of Wembley.
And Wembley's world-famous pitch has become the example that the North American grounds teams are striving to emulate for this year's World Cup.
The World Cup pitches, they've gone from what are NFL surfaces, whether it is the guys who are in LA and they're putting grass into a stadium that has a roof on it. I mean, and Dallas Cowboys, the exact same. The stadiums are being adapted like no one would believe. They're all being grown off site. The pitches, a lot of them are being raised up in the air, again, because they're on full construction. So they're looking at everything we have here at Wembley. They're looking at the drainage. They're looking at the aeration system underneath it, a in-situ irrigation system. The American grounds industry is just pushing and striving incredibly at the moment. And we've had a fair few of them come over and see like how we're installing and working with grass under sort of strict conditions.
Standing pitch side, the grass looks flawless, lush and meticulously maintained. But there's quite a complexity to football pitches that I didn't expect.
A lot of the Premier League teams and their pitches are very much the same. A lot of them are injected with artificial fibres. It's called a hybrid system. They're winter sports pitches. So they're grown predominantly of sand. If you don't have that stitch in the pitch, it would give way. So imagine going to the beach and going at the top of the beach where the wind's blowing and the sand is dry. It's loose underfoot. That's why we have plastic fibre injected into those pitches.
And Wembley is even more complex.
Now, this model at Wembley is a little bit different. We have it in a carpet form, which means we can go from concert to football in 2.5 days. This is English football at its best. And with that, Wembley plays a huge part. Because when we have Taylor Swift, the profit that this company makes goes back into grassroots. If we have a stitched model, like I was mentioning a lot of the Premier League have, you have to have a summer renovation window where you take out the old pitch and then you refresh, you replenish with sand, then you put your seed in and then you go, right, I've got the first game in 6 to 7 weeks. So you grow it in. With Wembley, we have a lay and play system. So our pitches are grown off-site at the turf farm. It's a secret location away from here. These pitches are harvested at the turf farm late at night, midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, when it's the coolest and less stressful. Concerts are in. They've killed all the pitch, the previous pitch. The staging's gone out. The flooring's come off. That's where then it goes into recycling. And then we have the brand new pitch laid out over 2 days. Within the third day, you could play football on it. No downtime. There was a moment last year when we had our pitch coming out down here and we had Oasis' stage still here, the cranes, the Arctic trucks, the thousands of tons of steelwork still being removed. The following day, the first lot of turf went down, so 400 odd rolls. Second day, 400 rolls. That evening, we rolled it, nutrients, started to prep it. The following day, you could have played football at a 7:30 kickoff and no one would have known that 4 days ago you had Oasis in the building.
The logistical precision that's needed to enable the stadium to flick between concerts and championships is astounding. And that precision runs through every aspect of maintaining this iconic carpet of grass.
We've got equipment that we bring out. We drop a Clegg hammer onto the pitch to see the hardness. So again, what energy the player will be bringing back through their body. We have instruments that are then tracking the rotational resistance. So at what point would the pitch give way? We'll take measurements. When we track all the areas that we're testing, it's going straight onto an iPad. That will then give us a heat map at the end of that test about everything about the playing surface. So, for instance, the size of our stadium, we are 6 months in shade. Grass needs sunlight to grow. So when the sun comes over the stadium's roof around about sort of March time, the north side where we are now by the players' tunnel is in natural light. The rest of it's being grown artificially. The south side will then start playing differently to the north side. So again, these heat maps then almost track what we're doing with the playing surface, but also what nature is allowing it to do at its own rate as well.
The condition of the playing surface can fundamentally shape the way football is played. Grass length, the consistency of the cut, and levels of watering all influence how the ball travels and how players move across the pitch.
The condition that we like to deliver every game at Wembley is slick and fast. So for FA Cup final, for Champions League, for semi-finals, women's, men's internationals, 22 millimetres is normally what we'll play at. You'll then see sprinklers on the pitch pop up when players are arriving. We'll normally do like a 2 millimetre drop of water to slicken the leaf up. And then we'll put another piece of water on after warm-ups. So the players have played, shall we say, or trained in a match condition at warm-ups. That water sometimes evaporates. So we add a little bit more water after warm-ups. That will get us through the first half into half-time. More sprinklers go up. And what we're doing is we're trying to keep moisture retention there on the leaf. Think of it as friction. When the ball is spinning, if the grass is longer and it's dry, it will hold up in the grass sward. Whereas when we add water to it, it reduces the traction and the friction and actually makes the ball spin quicker. We have millionaire players in billionaire teams playing on that. Fear and risk of injury is so high in these teams. So when you look at the pitch, our objective as a grounds team is to allow the player to play at the best of their performance. They don't walk onto the pitch, give it a kick and go, it's going to be a tough game today. Like, it doesn't feel safe. So that's why the pitch is very important, that we always say, is it safe? Is it playable? Are the two things we always have an objective for. Is it stripy and green? Is the third. Aesthetics is very important, of course. It's probably more as important for people watching it at home, for broadcast, for the brand as Wembley Stadium in the FA.
But could the clubs be strategic with the pitch maintenance to play to their team's strengths and against their opponents?
Yes, you could have it longer. It could slow the ball down. If you had a very quick-moving team in your stadium and you were the home team and you wanted to slow the game down and cause them problems, yeah, you could do. But the Premier League are very, very tight. Every pitch should be consistent, and also it's player safety. That's why we take so much data.
So I really love grass. I'm a bit of a grass nerd, and many people don't realise that grass isn't just grass. There's multiple different species. Some of the things that look like grass aren't actually grass, and some of them have really cool flowering plants hiding in there as well. And what's happening on the surface can tell you a lot about what's going on in the soils and how healthy an ecosystem is. So I'm really interested to know exactly what's happening under our feet.
It's a European ryegrass, cold season grass. So anything over 6 degrees, it will start to grow. Anything under 6 degrees, it will stunt and slow. But then with it, if we have any weather that's over, say, 30 degrees, high humidity, the energy in the plant, the cell structure, everything with a piece of grass, it's natural, will then start to go, this is too much for me. And then we start having concerns with the pitch. It overwhelms it, shall we say.
Because the grass contains artificial fibres woven into it, recycling the pitch is a complex challenge. Wembley currently repurposes used pitches into merchandise, such as keyrings and even furniture, including the bench beside the players' tunnel. But their drive to innovate hasn't stopped there.
Now, the cool bit here is, where we're down the West End, this area here is new technology. It's the first part which we understand to be in Europe. But the idea of this bit is we can't really go into too much detail, but it's made with certain ingredients that will allow it to biodegrade when we remove it. And over 3 years, it will be a biodegradable material. So this is a new trial we have here at Wembley. From the white line onwards is our normal playing surface. So when we talk about the grass, it has to be hard wearing because players are going to warm up, slip, slide, move around. They're going to leaf tear. The grass has to regenerate. It's also this type of speck of grass because of the harvesting, the install and the stresses that we put our pitch through before a player has even played on it.
And what about those sliding players? After all the work that goes into creating such an immaculate pitch, it can't be easy to watch.
If players enjoy playing on that piece of grass out there and they feel that they can perform at the highest level, and when they do that and they score and they knee slide, for me, it wraps all as one. We've just made a moment. And Carvajal, who is a Real Madrid player, scored in the recent Champions League final against Borussia Dortmund, and he slid right in this corner in front of us. And there was a nice slickness on the surface because we had watered the pitch previously. And he slid for like 10 metres. Next thing you know, all the players are now sliding in behind. And for days, because he had slid so hard, he hadn't ripped any of the grass. What he had done is he had pushed the grass in. So it was like memory, like laying flat. So for like 4 days after, there were these knee slides that we could not get rid of. That's history.
So knee slides are the least of Wembley's worries. Another challenge, though, one we're all experiencing, is climate change. High temperatures, torrential rain, cold snaps and heat waves. Changing weather patterns are putting grass under increasing pressure. So how is Wembley ensuring its world-famous pitch can cope with the demands of a changing climate?
We feel it in the stadium because this is a giant concrete bowl as well. In the summer, it's an oven. In the winter, it's a freezer. The pitch, some days you can leave it in the most pristine condition. You come in the following day and you're like, what's happened overnight? A drizzle in the stadium, 24 degrees. Right, that's going to get the disease spores to then activate. And then suddenly we get grass diseases, looking at fungicides, looking at herbicides. Like, we're trying to come away from that. And one thing with Wembley, we're trying to use more sustainable methods and more cultural processes to then eliminate any risk of disease. But that is also massively linked to climate change. So we're having to now use technology, which you would weirdly find in a hospital and a surgeon would use to then cleanse the scalpels and the instruments they were to use for surgery. So we're now looking at things like using UVC light to then disperse the spores of disease on the pitch. So there's quite some interesting links, but it all goes back to global warming.
Wembley's innovation doesn't stop there. Using UVC light to tackle grass disease is a remarkable example of how technology is reshaping modern groundskeeping. So I wanted to see some of the specialist equipment responsible for keeping this iconic turf in perfect condition. And where better to start than with robots?
So this is the robot. So this is working on the pitch, delivering ultraviolet light, which then tries to eradicate some pathogens and disease. Uses the same technology as a LiDAR, which is a Tesla, for instance, how they self-drive. And then it will use that to then work itself up and down the playing surface on a dot map. Its nickname is Betty. This is a tractor rake, and this is what we would then drag across the pitch, like you would a hand rake in your back garden. It then lifts up any organic, any leaf material, and then we'd have small machines that go over and hoover up any of the organic and leaf out, and it just keeps the pitch as healthy as possible.
Like most people, my first impression of a football pitch was the immaculate mowing patterns, and I soon discovered the mowers themselves were just as impressive. In my role as a ranger, we have our own specialist mowing equipment, but it's very, very different to this. Ours is for managing habitats and reducing fire risk on the moors, so it's a very different set of machinery, but just as cool.
These mowers in front of you, yes, they are elite mowers. And the blades on front, they're an 8-blade cassette, and those blades are spinning at a ridiculous amount of RPM. And when they go through the grass, you'll see this machine in front of you. You've got like a roller with grooves in. That brings the grass together. The bristles behind then stand the leaf up, because sometimes grass doesn't always go straight up. It will go at an angle. It then grooms the grass to then be cut by that red cassette. Think of it as a scissor. The bottom blade and the cylinder connect and cut the grass. It then flips the grass through the cassette, and then on the front of here is normally a grass collector, a bucket, should we say. Now, those blades have to be as sharp as possible. So if we get a poor cut on the grass, it will recover poorly. If we get a very sharp and clean cut, you've not ripped any of the grass, and that will allow better recovery and a healthier grass plant. A healthier grass plant, potentially the more games we can have. The more games we have, the more revenue we make, the more we put back into grassroots. And it's just keeping that natural grass as healthy as possible.
As we headed back onto the pitch, we could see the grounds team looking very busy with what looked like a heavy-duty, oversized lawnmower.
So what they're doing is they're aerating with these giant great tines. So when we're actually putting the holes in the ground, we're relieving the compaction, but at the same time, we're allowing oxygen to get into the roots, for the roots to take the oxygen in. Where there is space, grass will grow. So you imagine a tine going through there. These roots are then going to find that space and they're going to grow into those cracks that we've made. So again, that's how we get our roots to penetrate down past the carpet that's underneath this, a small amount of carpet, into the sand. So that's where they're collecting all the nutrients. Whereas a hybrid carpet system, when we harvest the pitch, the machine cuts the roots off, rolls it in a very flat roll. All the work we've done for 16 weeks is just gone. And then when it comes into the stadium, we then have to start again. It's great because we also have a good canopy to work with, which is the grass. And then we try and push those roots back down, which is why we use the aeration systems like the Pro Cores. We put millions of holes in the pitch.
Together, these elite tools help Carl and his grounds team maintain Wembley's flawless, perfectly striped pitch. It can feel almost clinical in its precision, but nature rarely works that way. Spend some time in a garden or a park, and it won't be long before wildlife starts to emerge. Amid all this control and perfection, has wildlife still been able to flourish at Wembley?
You're not going to get anything like ants, you're not going to get anything like worms because you don't have the organic content. It's very, very sand-based because it's a winter sports pitch. Some of the things we do get are from very much above. So you might have small little flies in there, the ladybugs, they'll be attracted because of the flies. We try and remove them off the pitch before we go and work. Many a time you'll see one of my grounds team pick one up and just try to move it somewhere so it can enjoy its little life. We do have crows in here. We have had kestrels up on the roof. We have had some birds of prey. We also have pigeons. The crows don't like the pigeons. The pigeons don't like the crows. The ladybugs don't like the crows. We've had a few kestrels have a go at a few crows and they've had a go back. So it does have its nice little ecology as well that we have.
And with that, it's time for me to swap the city for the wild comfort of the Pennines, carrying with me a new appreciation of the grass beneath the game and the people who work tirelessly to maintain it. And as the World Cup takes over our screens, our conversations and our dreams, the question remains, just how prepared will England be?
England trained here, so pretty much this pitch and the pitches at Tottenham where they were training and St George's Park where they started their training camp, all of those pitches were the same as what will be delivered at a World Cup. Yes, the grass is different, but with England, we've given them everything we can as Wembley to give everything England need from a pitch performance. They've got games and friendlies in Tampa, getting used to the climate, getting used to the pitch conditions. They'll be training on warm season grasses. These players also, they play everywhere. They can be playing at the Santiago Bernabeu. The following week, they could be playing a Champions League game in Latvia. They could even be going into Sweden playing on artificial pitches. So when you look at a player, they are very adaptable and we hope they can bring it home. It's an absolute honour and a pleasure to be around both of our men's and our women's team because they're such incredible teams, the technical teams, the management teams, the players themselves. It's great to see English football thriving. So, yeah, fingers crossed, men's and women's, they can bring more silverware and goldware back to Wembley Stadium.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wild Tales with me, Rosie Holdsworth. Why not follow us on Instagram at WildTalesNT and let us know who you're supporting in the World Cup or what your favourite type of grass is. See you soon.